أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Welcome back to Living in the Quran through the Living Quran for day number 4 of the blessed month of Ramadan. Today our topic delves on something which is a requirement of every living creature, which us as human beings have a need for, and that we have a requirement for to sustain our life, but also something which the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet of Islam and his successors has very strictly regulated of how it is to be done, and many other aspects and factors of this particular rule. And so today we want to look at the topic about eating and drinking. Now before we go into the topic, let us listen to and have a look at the verse of the Quran that we want to deliberate upon today, and then we'll come back and have a short discussion and a short talk about the importance of this subject from the religious perspective.
وَكُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَنْتُمْ بِهِ مُؤْمِنُونَ
And eat of what Allah has provided you of, things lawful, good and pure. And take Allah as a shield, in whom you repose your faith. Now when it comes to this topic of eating and drinking, there are obviously a lot of different aspects that the Quran and the faith of Islam have addressed it from. We have, for example, first off, verses of the Quran. This is one particular verse where God tells us to eat the lawful, the pure foods. And obviously we know as Muslims that when a food, or in order for a food, especially a meat product, let's say, to be considered to be permissible for consumption, that it must be slaughtered according to the prescribed method given to us by the scholars based on the verses of the Quran and the traditions of the Prophet and the infallible successors. Any animal which is slaughtered in other than the religious ordinances of Islam becomes impermissible, becomes forbidden to eat, and even actually forbidden to, for example, use as clothing. And obviously those rules are within the books of our scholars. But first and foremost, we have to appreciate and we have to realize that there is a jurisprudential aspect of what we eat and drink, that it must be permissible, it must come from a lawful source. The content of that food also has to be free of any impurities, any other impermissible components. Also, though, we do see in the Quran that God talks about food and drink, eating and drinking in many different ways. For example, sometimes God tells us, eat and drink, but do not be wasteful. Right? And there's obviously this understanding, especially when we look at the world around us, where the first world, countries that are the so-called developed world, maybe materialistically they're developed, but sometimes when you look at the method or the way that they lead their lives, and the hundreds of thousands of pounds of food which are thrown away, maybe on a daily basis, whether they be in fast food restaurants, whether they be in the grocery stores, or whether they be even in our own homes, right? It leaves a lot to be desired that yes, we are advanced materialistically, but when it comes to concern about others and the amount of wastage, we definitely are not an advanced society. And so God tells us that eat and drink and enjoy what God has given, but do not waste. Because God tells us that He does not love those people who waste. Sometimes God tells us in the Quran that eat and drink and be careful and do not follow the footsteps of Satan. Do not be tempted by the demonic whisperings and the attempts by the devil to push us away. And obviously this is another aspect of the importance of eating and drinking, and why God actually tells us to keep away from the satanic influences. So we see in the Quran many different ways that God talks about eating and drinking. It would really be difficult for us to go over all of the verses and the countless hadith, the sayings of the Prophet and his family that deal with eating, drinking, and all the etiquette to follow. But we do have to appreciate that we need to do a lot of our own reading, our own analysis, to see how this topic is addressed from the Quran, and to see the etiquette with how the Prophet would carry himself. You know, we have simple examples from the life of the Prophet that you can see in the books of traditions, which highlight the character and the personality and the way of life of the Prophet, where he would be very particular with the method of how he ate, meaning that he would be sitting with family, he would welcome companions and friends to come and eat with him, he would make sure that the guests were served food, he would make sure that they were not left hungry, he would ensure that food was not wasted, and there are many other traits within the character of the Prophet of how he would eat and drink. All of these, obviously, we are required to really study and understand and to implement within our day-to-day life. But suffice it to say, as we end this discussion, that this month of Ramadan is a perfect time to reflect on such verses and to reflect on our own method of how we lead our lives, right? Ramadan is, the fasting is obviously the most integral part of the month of Ramadan, the physical act of fasting. But unfortunately, sometimes we make the time of the breaking of the fast to negate the entire day of fasting. So much so to an extent that sometimes when non-believers look at the Muslim community, they say that this is not a month of fasting, that this is actually a month of feasting. Right? Because we have to have a multiple course buffet when we have our breaking of the fast. Sometimes some people want or need or demand from their spouse certain meals or food that they have to have before they will actually break their fast. And so sometimes the month of fasting loses its spiritual significance because we're too busy, preoccupied with what we will have at the end of the day, rather than thinking that there are people out there in the world today, in our own city, even in North America, even in Europe, even in the first world countries, who don't have food, who don't have what we will have to break our fast. So let us remember those individuals, and let us ask God to put it within us to actually give to the needy, to donate, to help those who are in a worse state than we are. And hopefully if we keep that thought in our mind in the entire month of Ramadan, that we will be able to come out of this blessed month as better believers, spiritually stronger, and willing to help humanity in any way that is required. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.